My title is Sweet Smelling Aroma. We have heard a couple messages recently having to do with our senses, specifically our vision, where Cale Mitchell talked about that, and then our hearing, where I referred to that, and the correlation between both physically and spiritual. Give Me a Vision was Cale Mitchell's title for his sermonette, and Ears to Hear was the one I gave last time. Now, I want to continue with this theme with another important sense we all have, which also affects our other senses when it is affected. Our sense of smell has its pros and its cons. Certain smells can bring about a childhood memory when we smell something in particular, which brings us back to that time we first experienced it, or there are certain smells that we may absolutely love. And that may just be you personally, everybody's different. But that fresh smell of rain or fresh cut grass when you're mowing the lawn. Cookies, that's always a winner. You smell that. Or a fireplace even, or when you're going outside and you smell that fire that's up in the mountains and you smell it from the chimney or whatever it may be. Gasoline, I mean, people like the smell of gas. Oh, there's different kinds of gas, but that one in particular, that may be something you may like, I don't know, I've heard about it. Flowers, trees, so the smell of springtime, perfume. Food smells that can instantly make you hungry, like a barbecue, or you smell something, you go to a restaurant, you're like, oh, okay, I'm instantly hungry, or McDonald's french fries, that was always a big one when I was younger. Well, these are good smells we can all appreciate. But then there are also some smells we can all do without. B.O., it's tough. It's a tough one. And how do you approach someone who has bad B.O.? I've been in that situation even when it came to work. And that is a hard thing to do. But everybody goes through that. Bad breath. The person, usually the one that has a bad breath, doesn't notice that until someone else points it out. Not having taken a shower in a long time, that starts to, you know, it starts to be bad. Rotten eggs. I mean, I don't know anybody that likes that smell. Sewage. Who likes the smell of sewage? Even cigarettes. It gets to that point where you start getting a headache. I mean, the smell may not be that bad, but it's also the effect of what it will do to you if you smell too much of it. Skunk, that's another one which we've all smelled. It doesn't take much. You're driving down the road and all of a sudden you smell the skunk, or you see one that's been run over. Don't run over it yourself because you'll never get that smell out of your car. It'll take a long time. But anyway, you smell that. Now, there's a big difference between smelling the skunk and getting sprayed by one. Huge difference. If that's ever happened to you, I'll tell you right now from personal experience, it's awful. It's one of the worst things. It burns. It's bad. Yeah, been there. So we have those pros and cons of smells. And just like with our other senses, there are pros, like I said, pros and cons of both. Seeing things we may not want to see and hearing things we don't want to hear, but at the same time, the opposite is what we ought to do in a spiritual sense. When we need our eyes to see what is going on in the world and our ears to hear what God tells us in the Bible, what we are being taught in the church. The same is true when it comes to our smell in a spiritual sense, as Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 14. He says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses, or better, manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Verse 16, to the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Verse 17, for we are not as so many. And this is referring to these false teachers, referring to the things which go against what God is saying, peddling or corrupting the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Notice right here how all three of the senses of seeing and hearing and smell all work together for our success. Those who listen and receive the word of God and believe in Christ and do what he says is a pleasing aroma to God. By preaching the gospel, we spread this sweet scent to the world. But not everyone will be able to smell the sweet aroma, for their noses are clogged. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And this is how we ought to live our lives. The following verses, 3 to 7, talks about the things that are a bad odor to God, which we are not to do. But what is considered a sweet-smelling aroma is found in verse 9 as the fruit of the Spirit, which is then further elaborated in Galatians 5. Paul also describes a way we are to live our lives before God, which gives off a particular smell to God, a sweet aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You can read about that in Philippians 4:18. Now, in the Old Testament times, physical burnt offerings were considered a sweet-smelling aroma to God, especially in the book of Leviticus, where we see numerous examples of that. Now, the smell itself was not the main factor, but it is what the smell represented. The substitutionary atonement for sin, as Christ later was the ultimate sacrifice for all of mankind. GotQuestions.org states this. The very first mention of God smelling the aroma of a burnt offering is found in Genesis 8:21. Noah offered a burnt offering of clean animals and birds after leaving the ark. We are told it was a pleasing aroma to God. The idea is that Noah's sacrifice was a propitiation or satisfaction of God's righteous requirement. God was pleased with the sacrifice and then gave the promise to never again destroy every living creature with a flood. The same is true in Leviticus 2 regarding the grain offering. Despite the fact that this offering involved grain rather than meat, it had an aroma pleasing to God in verse 2. Now, on the other side, offerings made to false gods were also considered a pleasing aroma to the idols. But the smell of the incense may have been appealing to the idolaters who offered it, but such false worship did not please God, who demanded worship only of him and sacrifice only to him. And that's how the world's confused, thinking they are pleasing God with whatever they are worshiping, or what they are keeping, what they are sacrificing, whatever it may be. But that is not what God wants. Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 13. Ezekiel 6 and verse 13, we read this. You shall know that I am the Lord when their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols. The New Testament reveals Christ as the final sacrifice for sin, the ultimate propitiation, as we read about, or as we had read about earlier in Ephesians 5:2. Who was the only one who could provide the eternally pleasing sacrifice? Now, we also have a Q&A on this topic, whether there will be animal sacrifices again in the future, where the Bible shows that Israelites will bring animal sacrifices at a new temple in Jerusalem at the beginning of the millennium. These sacrifices will not be given for the purpose of obtaining spiritual forgiveness, but just to remind the people that they had sinned and help them to focus on the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As it was the case in the Old Testament times, these sacrifices will be temporary and administered by physical Levites to physical, unconverted people to allow the transgressor to remain within the community of Israel. And what's going on right now in Israel and over there in the Middle East is quite alarming and quite interesting in light of what I just read here. It's only a matter of time before this starts happening again. Now, what else does God consider a sweet-smelling aroma? We do it every day. In fact, the whole world does it. But there is a big difference. Notice what we read in Proverbs 15 in verse 29. Proverbs 15, verse 29. We read, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." Everyone prays, whether they are called by God or not. There are prayers. But God only hears the prayer of the righteous, and that is a big key here. You know, David prayed all the time. I mean, you read the book of Psalms, it's pretty much all he did was pray, right? But in Psalm 142, verse 2, his prayers were an incense to God. It was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And if we look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, on the theme of righteous prayers, we read this, Revelation 5, verse 8, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Who are the saints? Are we in that category? The saints are also the righteous. The prayers of the righteous are the prayers of the saints. God hears our proper prayers by giving thanks to God for everything that we go through. And everything. I mean, yes, we go through ups and downs. We go through positive negatives. We also wonder sometimes why we go through the things we do go through. But God knows about all this stuff. Praying for one another. Praying all by itself is not a selfish act. But we are praying for one another. We show love and compassion, selflessness, and with a giving attitude. All goes together. That is a proper and righteous prayer. And we should never cease from praying, letting God know how much we need him, how much we appreciate him for everything he does in our lives, and how we should be thankful for his calling. Although it is difficult at times, but it's not impossible without him. Or it is not impossible, because without him, we will not survive. We've heard about little things. Heard about that in previous messages, and they are always important, like the ability to smell. And God knows that. He knows what we need, and he's always there to help us when we ask. The sacrifices that we go through to live his way of life and always have the ability to reach out to him whenever we want to through our prayers are a soothing aroma to God.